Joining us on the Trocare College live line this morning, political analyst Ken Crooley with a look at everything going on. And Ken, I want to get your thoughts on what's happening in City Hall in just a little bit. But first, you wrote this week about something that's almost becoming a trend, I feel, in Western New York. When you go to the ballot box in November, or maybe fill out an absentee ballot before then, you'll notice a lot of races with hardly any options. Uncontested races in Western New York, and it seems like there's more now than ever.
There are a whole lot, yes, and it's due to probably a number of factors, each one an individual decision in each election that's left with only one candidate. But the trend has been recently that there have been a number of vacant slots on the ballot. In this year's ballot, for example, there's a dozen campaigns in Erie County where there's only one candidate. In Niagara County, same thing, a dozen slots where there's only one candidate. So the public doesn't have a choice. So why that's developed is something that isn't determined.
Is that more noticeable this year than other years?
I don't know that it's more noticeable. Last year, 46% of the offices in Erie County were uncontested. I hadn't gone back further than that to take a look at it, but in past times, parties used to put up candidates even if they thought the odds were very long, and now there seems to be a little bit less of that they just decide that they're not going to offer anybody on the ballot.
What is the typical rationale behind doing that, not running out? It seems counterintuitive.
Well, it could be maybe a lack of interest in local government. Perhaps it's because the party enrollments are so one-sided in a particular jurisdiction that the challenge seems overwhelming. Maybe it's a question of whether somebody could raise money or not to fund a campaign. Or maybe people are just satisfied with the person who's in the office, because often these times these uncontested races are with an incumbent who's already sitting there. So all of those could be possibilities. It's just you'd have to go through every single one of them to determine why they're occurring where.
And then you get to the congressional races, and they are contested, but then they're not competitive, right?
Yeah, technically, the three congressional districts in Western New York, 24th with Tenney, 23rd with Langworthy, 26th with Kennedy, all have opponents in the election, but they're really not contested. The opponents are not really running any kind of a campaign. The candidate against Tim Kennedy, for example, didn't even file a committee with the Federal Election Commission, which is sort of a major thing to do if you're running for Congress. So they're technically competitive, but not really. I can tell you now that we can do the first calls for the 2024 election. Langworthy, Tenney, and Kennedy have all been elected.
Oh, well, I mean, it's just kind of the state of the ballot, the state of politics nowadays. Hey, I want to shift focus, if we could, to City Hall in Buffalo. We are expecting today Western Regional OTB to vote on, finalize that contract that they'll offer to Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown to become the next president and CEO of that organization. You know, ever since Brown was offered the position earlier this month, it's been a lot of head scratching really going on in City Hall as to how exactly this whole thing will work. Earlier this week, the talk was who would fill Chris Scanlon's seat if he is to be acting mayor, because that seat could be vacant for over a year if Brown were to take the position, say, this month or next month or something like that. Do you think this will have an easy solution, or might we spend that whole year just kind of figuring out what rule needs to change for the next time if this happens?
Well, probably be good to have a change standing by in the law, but I think it'll be resolved fairly quickly. The council seems to recognize that there's a need to fill that office on a temporary basis, so they're going to have to work out the legal language to do that, that they would appoint somebody on the condition that when and if Scanlon wants to reassume the South District seat, that he would occupy it. I think that'll work out fairly easily, and the South District will have a member of the council in not too distant future if Scanlon becomes mayor.
But wouldn't there be an issue if Scanlon ran for mayor and, let's say, he lost and then wanted his council seat back?
Well, I think that's where the lawyers come in. They're going to have to draft something that says that the appointment is only good for so many months or some such thing, or the previous incumbent is intending to come back. I don't know how the language will work out, but I kind of think that will be figured out, and they'll take care of that.
Well, a lot of this still to come. Is your anticipation that the mayor will accept whatever this contract offer is, if one is indeed voted on today? I mean, I think everyone's kind of assuming that is going to happen. Should we?
Yeah, I think that that's probably likely. The reports are that the mayor has been speaking with the chairman of the OTB board, and so I assume that they've kind of negotiated something that would be something they can pass through that board, as well as have it accepted by the mayor. So I guess it's conceivable that they offer something different. There was some indication that at least one of the OTB members was not interested in going as high as the salary has been supposedly going to be set at. But whether that's one person or whether it turns out to be a majority of the board remains to be seen. I kind of think that between the mayor and the chairman of the board, they probably figured those things out right now.
Do you think that we'll hear from the mayor soon then, after this vote today, about what he intends to do? He's really been kind of under the radar since this came up.
Yeah, I would expect that the mayor would, once the vote is taken in the OTB, that he would probably signal his agreement fairly quickly after that. And then the only question would be when. The stories that I've heard sound like early next month, and of course next month starts next Tuesday. So it's possible that the thing will all be resolved in the near future. The mayor likely will accept what has been worked out, and the resignation will probably occur not too far in the distant future.
Well, Ken, thank you for the time, as always. Ken Crewley joining us on the Trocar College Liveline political analyst with a look at everything going on in City Hall and, of course, races all around.